Hello and welcome back. Now we're going to talk about adjustments for the accrued items. Accrued items require two types of adjusting entries: assets and revenue adjustments, and liability and expense adjustments. The first group, asset and revenue adjustments, involves accrued assets. The second group, liability expense adjustments, involves accrued liabilities. Accrued assets are assets such as interest receivable or accounts receivable that have not been recorded by the end of the accounting period. These assets represent rights to receive future payments that are not due at the balance sheet date. To present an accurate picture of the affairs of the business on the balance sheet, firms recognize that these rights at the end of an accounting period by preparing an adjusting entry to correct the account balances. To indicate the dual nature of these adjustments, the record... To present an accurate picture of the affairs of the business on the balance sheet, firms recognize these rights at the end of an accounting period by preparing an adjusting entry to correct the account balances. To indicate the dual nature of these adjustments, they record a related revenue in addition to the asset. We also call these adjustments accrued revenues because the revenues must be recorded. Interest revenue can consist of savings accounts literally earn interest moment by moment. Rarely is payment of the interest made on the last day of the accounting period. Thus, the accounting records normally do not show the interest revenue earned, which affects the total assets owned by the investor, unless the company makes an adjusting entry. The adjusting entry at the end of the accounting period debits the receivable account and credits a revenue account to record the interest earned and the asset owned. For example, assume Michael Tran Company has some money in a savings account. On December 31, the money on deposit has earned 1 month's interest of $600. Although the company has not yet received the interest, an entry must show the amount of interest earned by December 31, as well as the amount of the asset interest receivable. So the entry to record the accrue of a revenue, so on December 31, you know that you're going to receive the $600, but not until the next month. However, you want it to reflect in December's total so that you have an accurate picture of the revenues or expenses for that month. So here you know you're going to receive the $600 in interest, so just like your accounts receivable, people that owe you money for merchandise you sold to them, same with the interest. You're going to debit an interest receivable account because it's money that's owed to you in the future, and you're going to credit an interest revenue account because it's money owed to you and it's also a revenue. Okay? And these are the account balances in the general ledger. The interest receivable account and the interest income account, again, you debit one and credit the other. MicroTran reports the $600 debit balance in the interest receivable as an asset on the balance sheet. This asset accumulates gradually with the passage of time. The $600 credit balance in the interest revenue is the interest earned during the month. Recall that in the recording of revenue under accrual basis accounting, it does not matter whether the company collects the actual cash during the year or not. It reports the interest revenue earned during the accounting period on the income statement. A company may perform services for customers in one accounting period while it bills for the services in another accounting period. These are called unbilled training fees. Michael Tran Company performed $1,000 of training services on account for a client at the end of December. Since it takes time to do the paperwork, Michael Tran will bill the client for the services in January. The necessary adjusting entry on December 31 is as follows. So you can see the journal entry is accounts receivable, and it's for the service fees receivable, and then you credit the service revenue for $1,000. After posting the adjusting entry, the T accounts appear as follows. So you have your accounts receivable, and then you have your revenue. The service revenue appears in the income statement. The asset, accounts receivable, appears on the balance sheet. Accrued liabilities are liabilities not yet recorded at the end of an accounting period. They represent obligations to make payments not legally due at the balance sheet date, such as an employee's salaries. At the end of the accounting period, the company recognizes these obligations by preparing an adjusting entry, including both the liability and the expense. For this reason, we also call these obligations accrued expenses. The recording of the payment of employee salaries usually involve a debit to an expense account and a credit to cash, unless a company pays salaries on the last day of the accounting period for a pay period ending on that date. It must make an adjusting entry to record any salaries incurred but not yet paid. Microtran Company paid $3,600 of salary on Friday, December 28, 2010, to cover the first 4 weeks of December. The following entry of salaries expense is debited of $3,600 and cash of $3,600 is credited. Assuming that the last day of December falls on a Monday, this expense account does not show salaries earned by employees for the last day of the month, nor does an account show the employer's obligation to pay these salaries. The key accounts pertaining to salaries appear as follows before the adjustments. So as you can see, you have your salary expense of $3,600 on December 28th, which is not the full end of the month, and salaries payable of zero. So if salaries are $3,600 for 4 weeks, they are $900 per week. For a 5-day work week, daily salaries are $180. Microtran makes the following adjustment entry on December 31 to accrue salaries for 1 day. So for the month of December, you still owe $180 to your employees, okay? So you will have a salary expense of $180 and a salary payable of $180. And then your description, you're just accruing the 1 day salary that were earned but not yet paid. After adjustments, the two T accounts involved appear as following. Okay, so as you can see, the salary expense on December 28th, $3,600. December 31, your adjusting entry for the $180 to accrue for the 1 day of salary earned by your employees. So for a total salary expense of $3,780 for the month, okay, and then your salaries payable, you have $180 payable. Now if you fail to recognize, number one, consumption of the benefits of an asset, what effect is it going to have on the net income and the balance sheet? Okay, so if you fail to recognize the consumption of the benefits of an asset, it's going to overstate your net income, and it's going to overstate your assets and your retained earnings on your balance sheet. And then number two, earning of a previous unearned revenues, if you fail to recognize that, it's going to understate your net income, and it's going to overstate liabilities and understate retained earnings. And then for your accrual of assets, you're going to understate net income, and then the effect on the balance sheet is going to understate assets and understate retained earnings. And then for your accrual of liabilities, from the net effect on the income statement, it's going to overstate your net income, and it's going to understate the liabilities on your balance sheet and overstate the retained earnings on your balance sheet. So this is why it's very important to make sure that you accrue or you defer depending on the situation, say for salary or prepaid expenses, so that it affects the full month. The debit in the adjusting journal entry brings the month's salary expense up to its correct $3,780 amount for income statement purposes. The credit to salaries payable records $180 salary liability to employees. The balance sheet shows salaries payable as a liability. Another example of a liability expense adjustment is when a company incurs interest on a note payable. The debit would be to the interest expense, while the credit would be to the interest payable.